ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
This evening, if you would, please turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 4 as we continue our study through the Word of God. And tonight we're going to finish up Paul's last letter or last epistle that he wrote before he was martyred for his faith by Caesar Nero. And as we'll see tonight in our study, that 2 Timothy chapter 4 is really born out of what Paul said or wrote in 2 Timothy 3 verses 16 and 17, which we covered last week. But this is what he wrote. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. You see, all of Scripture, the entire Bible from Genesis through Revelation, is given to us, not the words of men, but by God, from His lips, you might say. And as you understand that, then you'll also see that since God has given us His Word, then what He's told us is for our benefit. It's there to help us to live out our Christian lives in a way that would honor Him and it would bless us. You see, the Word of God tells us what's right. That's doctrine. The Word of God tells us what's wrong, that's reproof. The Word of God tells us how to get right when we've gone astray, that's correction. And the Word of God tells us how to stay right, instruction in righteousness. And let me say this also. You know, many people have all kinds of ideas of what equips us for service, you know, for serving the Lord. But Paul tells Timothy and us that it's not academic degrees that equip us for service. It's the Word of God. Now, how many times do you hear that? You don't. You know, one person wrote this. He said, "The scripture is thus absolutely incomparable. No other book, library, or anything else in the world is able to make a lost sinner wise for salvation. No other scripture, since it lacks inspiration of God, whatever profit it may be otherwise afford, is profitable for these ends, teaching us the true saving facts, refuting the lies and the delusions that deny these facts, restoring the sinner or fallen Christian to an upright position, educating, training, discipling, disciplining one in genuine righteousness." And yet today we see all kinds of worldly philosophies coming into the church, worldly ideas being taught from the pulpits, and it's not helping people or profiting them, and it actually hurts them. See, it's out of what Paul said here that God's word is inspired and profitable that chapter 4 opens up. You know, remember what Paul talked about in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. He said, "The word of God is living and it's powerful and it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And there's no creature hidden from his sight. But all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account." You see, God's word cuts right to the heart of the matter. And sometimes we need that. It's like a surgeon using his scalpel to remove things that are harmful in our bodies. God does that with us with precision as we read his word, and it cuts away that hardness. But we have to allow the word of God opened up to us by the Spirit of God to guide the man of God. And if we do that, we're going to do well. And maybe that's why a lot of Christians are struggling in their walk. They're going to the world for their answers instead of the Word of God. I don't know if you remember back some several years ago when Rick Warren put out his purpose-driven book, and there were churches, you know, doing their 40 days of purpose. But let me ask you this. Where in the Bible does it say that God drives his people? You won't find it anywhere. It doesn't. And I'm not saying that, you know, books are bad. We can learn from godly men. But God leads his people. He's the good shepherd, and we follow him. We're not cattle that are driven. We are sheep that are led. The shepherd always leads his sheep. Now, what if we change the 40 days of purpose to 40 days of reading the New Testament from Matthew through Revelation? You don't see those going on in churches today, right? But don't you think you would glean more from the Bible than a book? Of course. The problem is we've moved so far away from God that we don't see the Bible as being more important than any other book or program. We've become accustomed to it in this country because we have access to it all the time. But look at parts of the world like China and other parts of the world where they get a Bible, one Bible for maybe 100 people, and they are so excited, they're ripping the pages out and they will pass them around. They will read the pages that they have. The Bible is so precious to them. It's only the Bible that is 100% truth. And I don't care how good the pastor is, how good the writer is, they're not infallible. I'm not infallible. I'm a human being. There is no one infallible except God. And so his word is what we have to trust. Remember, in 1 Timothy 4, verses 1 through 3, about these false teachers that had come into the church there in Ephesus. And this is from the Amplified Bible, but listen to what Paul wrote. He said, "But the Holy Spirit distinctly and expressly declares that in latter times some will turn away from the faith, giving attention to deluding and seducing spirits and doctrines that demons teach through the hypocrisy and pretensions of liars, whose consciousness are seared or cauterized, who forbid people to marry and teach them to abstain from certain kinds of foods, which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and have an increasingly clear knowledge of the truth." You see, if the teachings that are being taught are not from the Word of God, or they're making the Word of God what they want it to say, these false teachers and these teachings are nothing more than doctrines of demons. And that's pretty harsh, but that's the reality. There's no other way to see it. It's either of God or not. It's pretty simple. Then we saw in 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 7, "But know this, in the last days perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And from such people turn away. For of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth." I truly believe we are living in the last days of the last days. I can't imagine how, you know, and it could go on for a while, but man, I look at all the things that are going on in the world. You see Russia trying to get more of an influence in the Middle East. You see a war beginning to gather in the Middle East. I think it's Ezekiel 38 and 39. Will it come in our day? I don't know. Keep an eye on what's going on with the volcano at Yellowstone. All the earthquakes that are going on there. All the release of pressure. That means something's happening. Yeah, I can't remember. What is it like? 40-mile crater. So I can't remember. The caldera, is like 40 miles. That's the top of the volcano. And the only way scientists saw it was from looking up above, looking down, and they could see the crater. If that blows, look out. Lots of things are going on, guys. We got to be aware of that. As people, you know, we were told, Jesus said deception is going to be a big part of the last days. So as people depart from the truths of God found in the Word of God, what do they become? They become lovers of themselves. And what is manifested in their lives, it's all about them. And Paul lists all these things, and they're not pretty. They're not meant to be pretty. So in knowing we're living in these last days, however long it is, maybe we'll go before the Lord returns, I don't know. But in knowing that the Lord is coming back soon, in knowing that the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation are inspired by God, Paul is going to tell Timothy three words, what he's to do. Preach the word. Oh, that's so simplistic. Does it have to be complicated? Preach the word. And that's what we're going to be looking at tonight, is Paul really says his goodbye to Timothy and admonishes Timothy to finish the race strong. So let's pick up 2 Timothy chapter 4, starting in verse 1, and let's see what the Lord has for us this evening as we study his word. Paul wrote this, "I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom." So Paul starts out with this, uses this word charge. It's a really strong word in the Greek. It carries with the idea of having a solemn testimony, something that Timothy is to heed. In fact, Stout explains it like this. This verb for charge in the Greek has legal connections and can mean testify under oath in a court of law or to adjure a witness to do so. So Paul hasn't really stated what he's charging Timothy to do, but it's so important that he brings this before the members of the court, the Father and Jesus, who's going to judge us at his appearing. So he wants Timothy to testify before God that he's going to do this, fulfill this request that he's going to give him. And we'll see it again in verse 2. I kind of already gave you a hint to it, but Paul's on death row, and he doesn't have long to live. And he wants Timothy to continue on in the work. And this is a really, really strong appeal to continue in the cause for Christ. And what is this judgment that Paul is speaking of? I mean, I didn't think Christians were supposed to be judged, right? I thought our sins are covered. What's this judgment all about? Well, this judgment is not for punishment. Judgment for punishment is for the unsaved. They're going to appear one day at the great white throne judgment and then be cast into the lake of fire. They're sent to the lake of fire for the rejection of Jesus. And then what they're going to endure, the punishment, will be according to the works that they've done in this life. And they'll spend eternity apart from God in the lake of fire. But what about this judgment for us? This is for service. You know, Paul in 2 Corinthians 5 verses 9 and 10 said, "Therefore we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad." So the judgment seat, or the Bema seat of Christ, is a place where athletes, and not the Bema seat of Christ, but the Bema seat itself, was the place where athletes would receive their laurel wreath for winning whatever competition they were in. We appear before the Bema seat of Christ. We see it in 1 Corinthians 3, verses 12 through 15, where Paul said this, "Now if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work, of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so is through the fire." So this is judging the things we've done in this life. It's not being rewarded for how big your ministry, how many people you led to the Lord. That's not what this reward is about. This reward is for faithfulness and service. And it looks at the motivation of your heart. Why did you do what you did? You see, Paul said you're not going to lose your salvation, even if you're not faithful, even if some of your works or all your works are burned up. But you lose rewards and miss out on those blessings now. Paul's talking about the return of the Lord. Paul's been in ministry maybe 30 years now. What has he been talking about? Well, he's talking about the Lord's coming back, right? He's been talking about it for 30 years. And he's still, at the end of his life, he's still speaking about the Lord returning. Many Christians today can care less. But Paul understood, and he was looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. People have said, you know, I've heard that all before. I've heard that for years, that the Lord's coming back. Come on, let's move on to something else. That should be an excitement in our lives, right? I mean, I don't know about you, but when I look at all the things going on in the world, I'm like, come, Lord Jesus, right? I mean, come on. All the pain, the suffering, the hate, the violence, all the immorality. I'm like, man, I can't wait for righteousness to flow in this land once again. I'm looking forward to it. I'm excited. Well, what if he doesn't come back before you die? Where do I go when I die? I'm with him. Do I lose out on anything? No, not at all. Well, let's move on. Let's look at what Paul is admonishing or charging Timothy to do. Because keep in mind, this is related to the false teachers with their false teaching. It's related to being judged by God for not doing it. So it's important. And this is what he wrote in verse 2 of 2 Timothy 4. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. Remember that the weight of verse 1 rests upon this statement. This is what Paul is calling Timothy to do. He's charging him to do this, to make a testimony before God that he will preach the word. Why is it important? Because the word of God is inspired or breathed from the mouth of God, and it's profitable to the hearer, and it has to be preached. Now, what if people don't want to hear the word of God being taught? What if the word of God's just not popular? What if it's more popular to do a book? What does Paul charge Timothy to do here? Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. And the Greek words that we have translated in season and out of season speak of opportune times and inopportune times. In other words, you preach the word of God no matter what because it's what they need. It's not always what they want. I mean, I just know when my kids were growing up, they didn't always like their vegetables, right? But as a parent, you made your kids eat their vegetables. Why? Because it was healthy for them. It's what they needed. It wasn't what they wanted. Now I watch my kids grown up raising their kids. And you know what they do? They make their kids eat the vegetables. You got to have, just take a bite of it. I don't care what you do. Put it in your mouth, chew it up, swallow it. You need your vegetables. That's pretty much what Paul's saying here. I heard one pastor a couple years ago say that this verse means that pastors need to preach the word of God when they feel like it and when they don't. And when I heard that, I'm so bad. I almost wanted to stand up and go, no, that's not what it says. But I couldn't. And that is so wrong. Why? Because isn't it the pastor's responsibility to always be teaching the word of God, bringing the word of God to the people? And here's the thing. If you don't like it, then get out of ministry. If you don't always feel like teaching the word of God, get out of ministry. You don't belong in there. This has to be a passion of your heart to bring the word of God to the people of God. There was a church of England. There was a clergyman there who was saved. It was an amazing thing. He got saved. And when Jesus changed his life, he started preaching the gospel to his whole parish. And you know what happened? They all got saved. Pretty amazing. Then he started preaching in neighboring parishes. And the clergymen of those parishes were offended by it. And they asked the bishop to make him stop. And when the bishop confronted him, he said, I hear you are always preaching and you don't seem to be doing anything else. Well, the changed man said this. He said, well, bishop, I only preach during two seasons of the year. Well, the bishop said, well, I'm glad to hear that, man. What seasons are they? In season and out of season. Amen to that. You know, I think we are living in the days that Hosea spoke of in Hosea 4:6. This is what the Lord said through the prophet Hosea. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also will reject you from being priest for me. Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children. Wow. They are destroyed for what? Lack of knowledge. Knowledge of what? The knowledge of God. Because the priests were not teaching them the word of God. Isaiah 5:13. Therefore my people have gone into captivity because they have no knowledge. Their honorable men are famished and the multitude dried up with thirst. Do you realize that less than 3% of evangelical churches across America have a midweek Bible study? Less than 3%. What's going on? What are we doing during the week? What kind of programs are going on if we're not teaching the Word of God? You know, we're in a battle. There's a war going on out there. I don't know if you noticed that. And here's how we become equipped to deal with these things that are out there, to deal with the issues in our own lives. And because people are not being fed the truths of God found in the Word of God, we see immorality rising within the church today because they don't know what's right or wrong. I mean, look at Joel Osteen. Out with Black Lives Matter. Jesus had a better one than that. All lives matter. I died for everyone. And I'm here to tell you, I don't mean to get off on this, but I've already gone down that path. It's too late. I can't come back. They don't care about black lives. This group, Black Lives Matter, I never saw them once protesting in Chicago when all those people, innocent people, were getting killed. Black people, Hispanic people, all kinds of people, Asian people. Where were they? They don't care. This is a cause for them. It has nothing to do with Black Lives Matter. And we need to be prepared how to deal with these things so we don't get caught up in this. All lives matter. And the solution is not marching. The solution is presenting the gospel of Jesus Christ to people. I mean, can you imagine Paul gathering the people of Corinth together, going, hey, we're marching down the streets because Corinthian lives matter. Did you ever see him do that? I don't know. It's not in my Bible. What did he do? He brought the gospel message. And you know what the gospel message did to this wicked, immoral city? It changed them. That's the only thing that's going to change the people out there, guys, is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Never forget that. Greek scholar Kenneth West put it like this. He said, the preacher must present not book reviews, not politics, not economics, not current topics of the day, not a philosophy of life denying the Bible and based upon unproven theories of science, but the Word. The preacher as a herald cannot choose his message. He is given a message to proclaim by his sovereign. If he will not proclaim that, let him step down from his exalted position. Absolutely. If pastors do not want to teach the Word of God, then get out of that line of work. Don't do it any longer. Because this is our whole responsibility. And we're going to be judged for it. Paul told Timothy, I charge you, preach the word. How important is that? The whole counsel of God. Genesis through Revelation. When you see fruit, when you don't see fruit. When people want to hear it, when they don't want to hear it. When it's popular, when it's not popular. In fact, Paul, speaking to the Ephesian elders at Miletus before he was heading to Jerusalem, told them this. Therefore I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. In other words, don't starve people, don't hurt the people of God that God has entrusted to you, the ones he purchased with his own blood, by not preaching to them. Teaching them the Word of God. I wish more pastors would listen to Paul's charge to Timothy and then act upon it in their own congregations and preach the Word. And this is a charge to every pastor because God is going to judge us in what we did. And I take this very seriously. I don't take this lightly at all. I'm accountable to God. Whether people like what I hear or they don't, that's up to them. All I can do is tell you what God's word has to say. In fact, Paul tells Timothy that as God's word is taught, it will convince those who are in error to turn to Jesus, to correct their ways, correcting misbehavior or false doctrine. Also, it will rebuke those living in sin. It will exhort and encourage believers whatever they're going through. Don't you find that as you're going through some hard times, as you're reading God's word, all of a sudden God, by his Spirit, is speaking to you and comforting you and encouraging you. A pastor is to be long-suffering, to be patient. You know, when you preach the word of God, allow the Spirit of God to work in their lives. Don't become impatient. You know, look how long it took you to get where you're at. And you still got a long way to go, Joe. Yeah, I know. So be patient with them as they're patient with you. And then Paul concludes by speaking of teaching. I personally, this is my personal opinion, I don't think it's possible to give careful instruction to people if you're not teaching verse by verse through the Bible. The reason being is you can pick and choose what you want. You can jump here, you can jump there, you can go anywhere you want. It ends up being many stories or superficial. But when you teach verse by verse, you have to go where God is going because He's laid it all out for us by his Spirit. People need healthy doctrine. They need the Word of God. You know, think about reading a book. You don't read, you know, page one of a book, jump to page 52, go to 37, 106. No, you go right through the book, and that's what we're doing. And I kind of like it this way. You know why? Because I know where we're at. Okay, we're in chapter 4 tonight. This is what we're teaching on. It's right here. God has already spoken.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers. Breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word.
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with his sustaining word.